Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm John Rensenhaus, and I'll be your host this week as we present an original piece entitled Written Off by one of our favorite Kansas City playwrights, Victor Wishnow. Victor is many things, including an editor and commentator, as well as being a playwright and talented in so many fields. As a playwright, he has composed nearly a dozen plays. His play, DNR, was recently produced at the Living Room Theater in Kansas City, and by recently, I mean, well, before the pandemic. And it was also named a semifinalist at the Blue Ink Playwriting Competition at the American Blues Theater in Chicago. We're going to get a chance to talk with Victor at the end of the show, so please stay tuned for that. As to our play for today, Written Off, it is a bit on the farcical side of things, but it's also quite heartfelt and serves as an excellent reminder that, as the world turns, none of us should take the days of our lives for granted. And as we search for tomorrow, we must remember to be the bold and the beautiful, for we are always near the edge of night. And now, Written Off by Victor Wishnow. We are somewhere in Southern California, in an unremarkable building, in a bland office with a decor best described as beige. Only the few posters on the walls reveal the mediocre melodrama that finds life here. TV shows with names like Scranton PD, Frustrated Neighbors, and Heartbreak Hospital. At the desk sits Doc, mastering the latest version of Candy Crush on his phone, as Janine paces back and forth impatiently.
Why all the pacing? You know he's never been on time in his life.
I know, but it still bothers me. He is one of those types of people who is calculatedly late. Not fashionably late, but late so that he can make some elaborate apology and then just, well, he's late, but you're the jerk.
Yeah, well... You know actors.
Yes, I do. And when you put them in a situation without a script, it isn't always pretty.
Oh, he'll be fine.
Really? You'll back me up, right?
110%.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
110%? I prefer it if you just said yes. Finally!
It'll be okay, I think. Lewis, if that's Frank, you can send him right in.
Thanks, Lou. Hey, and I'll tell you the punchline on my way out. Hello! Oh, so sorry I'm late.
Come on in, Frank.
Doc, great to... Oh, hello, Janine.
Frank, nice to see you again.
Uh-huh. So, on my way over here, the craziest thing. You would not believe me if I told you.
Then don't tell us.
The light turns green. The car in front of me doesn't move. I lay on the horn. Then I see what's happening. A line of geese, a mama, and I don't know what, a dozen little geeselets? Is that what you call them?
I'm not sure, Frank.
Gosling.
Anyway, it's too late. I've honked. What can I say? I'm a honker. And now I've got to sit there with my guilt until finally the gooselings are clear. The Beamer in front of me turns, and I lock eyes with the driver. And do you know who it is? I said, do you know who it is?
No, Frank. Who is it?
Mel Gillespie.
Not ringing bells. Sorry, Frank.
At CBS, he gave me my first real break on that TV movie, The Clown of Belmore Avenue. The man will always be a saint to me, and here I am, honking at him like he's a petty criminal, just because he's taking the same pity on a bunch of little goose chicks that he once took on me. Isn't that remarkable?
Frank, that's...
And what does the man do? He gives me a little nod and a wink. He must be in his 80s now. What a prince. I kiss the ground he walks on. But when I didn't know who he was just another loser. And so was I. Ain't it amazing what we'll do when we think no one knows who we are?
Frank! The reason we both wanted to talk to you, Doc, remember, 110%?
How was this summer off, Frank? I hope you...
Ah, it was great, Doc. Thank you for asking. It was a good hiatus. Good, good. And I was in hyenas. as you know.
No, I didn't.
Yes, my sister has a place there. And since the divorce is hers and mine. Well, anyway, I love it there. I like saying, I spend my hiatus in Hyannis. And I did this amazing yoga retreat. Do you do yoga?
Of course.
No.
Oh, Janine, it's good. I'm telling you, you got to balance your chakras. I mean, arthritis, right? Also, it's really cleared my head. And I had a chance to do some thinking about the show, about Charlie.
Okay. Well, actually, Frank, that's why we wanted to see you today before the first read-through, before things get started back up again.
You know, I started asking myself, who is Dr. Charles Allenby? I mean, I'm Charlie Allenby, sure, but it's like I took a step outside the character and took a look at him. Okay, you've lived with this guy, as this guy, for what, 7 seasons now?
I think it's 8.
I know it's 8.
Right, a long time. And you know, me and Charlie, we're not getting any younger.
Well, Frank, it's...
Well, not you, Doc. I mean, me and Charlie. I'm getting old.
Right. Well, Frank, the timing is the reason why...
So then when Jimmy told me you wanted to see me, it was like, yes, we are on the same page.
Great.
Indeed. Who is Charlie Allenby and who is Frank Leonard? And I realized we're the same guy now, right, Doc? Huh? I mean, I am Charlie. I know, Janine, I'm not the writer, and I'm only an associate producer, but I have such thoughts. I'm telling you, I see possibilities. I want to give Charlie new life.
Oh. Are you done? Well, Frank, I think your instincts are right. I mean, that in it's a time of transition.
Oh, that doesn't necessarily sound good. Good.
Fair enough. There really is no good way to tell you this.
Right. I think what Janine is trying to say, Frank, is... there comes a time when we realize that what we do matters because it has mattered. You get what I'm saying, Frank?
Huh? Yeah. No.
You got life.
Right.
And you've got matter.
Okay.
And you got what matters. And after so many...
Oh, come on. Just give it to me straight, Doc.
Frank, you're dying.
What?
Well, not you. Your character, Charlie. Charlie is dying, Frank.
Excuse me?
I understand this is coming as a bit of a shock.
I'm dying?
Charlie, Frank, the writers...
Writers?
Janine and the writers and I have decided that this is Charlie's last season.
I don't understand. They're just canceling the show?
What? No, I didn't say that.
But we were doing so great. Why would they
Frank.
Want to... And Janine, after another Golden Globe nod, 5 years now, you've been so close to think the network would pull.
Frank.
It's shameful.
Frank, the show's not canceled. You are.
I'm... Oh.
Oh my gosh, he's down. I think he's out cold. Come on, Frank. Frank, come on. Ugh. Stay with us, buddy.
Actors!
I don't know that he's just acting here. Here, help me. Get him on the couch. Stabilize him.
Stabilize him?
Isn't that what you say?
Just give me that picture. Ugh.
What? Not on the couch?
Okay.
Come back to us, Frank.
Yeah. Okay, then, what is it?
Huh?
What is it? What am I dying of?
What? Oh, that. Lyme disease.
What? That's not a thing.
It is a thing.
It's not a thing.
It most certainly is a thing.
Lyme disease? Maybe for sailors.
That's scurvy, Frank.
Oh. Oh. So, how long then?
What?
I mean, is it aggressive? I mean, how long do I have?
Oh, how long?
Damn it, just... Tell me the truth!
3 episodes.
3 episodes?
Maybe 4.
Look, there's no way to know until we start the treatments for the first episodes.
My God, after 7 years.
8.
I'm not even going to get a full season of decline. I won't even have the dignity of a season finale?
Well, actually, the arc of the season is how the other actors react to your death, how they pick up the pieces and move on.
Move on?
Well, not in a bad way, in a good way. Now, I know that may not be comforting.
I'm calling my agent.
Jimmy knows, Frank.
Well, then why the hell does...
He wasn't thrilled to hear, of course, but actually he agrees with us.
agrees.
Well, for the long-term health of your career, he thinks...
Health? I'm dying!
Frank, you're not dying! Charlie is...
Oh, will you stop hiding with that? You're killing me here! This isn't some reality show where you can just vote me off because my voice cracked or the flan I baked didn't have the, what do you call the thing, the crispy on the top of the flan. Nope! The point is, I'm not some hick from nowhere looking for my shot. This is my livelihood. This is why scripted drama is dying.
You're not entirely wrong, Frank. I think you know it yourself. What you were getting at before, that the show's gotten a little stale.
Ha! Well, then make it better.
We are.
Wow. You think everything's going along fine, and then boom! You know, Doc, my mother died from Lyme disease. Rest her soul.
I'm sorry, Frank. I didn't know.
I mean, you see, this kind of thing on TV, you never think it'll happen to you.
Oh, come on!
No. Uh-uh. I want a second opinion from you. From both of you. You can do better.
Now, Frank, I think you need to realize that we've given this... an extensive review. I mean, like, a lot of thought, and it's not something that we...
Never mind. I've got it! What if... Okay, I like it. A twist, yes. Perfect. It's just what we need. Charlie realizes his ways, turns into a new man. He goes back to school.
At your age? I mean, at his age?
Yes.
He's already a doctor.
Aha! But what kind?
Well, it... Jesus. In 8 seasons, have we never mentioned what... Charlie even does? Janine?
He's a doctor!
Yes. Charlie Allenby, MD, goes back to school to specialize in Lyme disease. Oh, God, what a storyline! And here's the thing. You don't even have to show much. No, old Charlie will be off at Lyme disease school. It's just what you want. And it'll give my fans a chance to miss me, which, I admit, is not something they've had much chance to do. But you'll see. They'll be clamoring for him from... Him, for me, I mean, and that's it! And then the season finale. Yes, the return of Dr. Charles Allenby, specialist, and he's cured himself.
Frank!
Okay, fine, he doesn't, but he comes back as an angel. Angels are big right now.
An angel?
No, you're right, it's probably better as a spinoff. And hey, you'll still get what you want. I'm off this show.
Frank, don't be silly.
Well, you're right. And you wouldn't know silly. What kind of nickname is Doc, anyway, for you?
Yes, a silly college nickname that stuck, I told you.
You little twerp! You're not even a doctor!
Neither are you!
God. Oh, I think I need to sit down.
Frank? You okay?
Hey, look, Frank.
Oh, God.
Buddy. Frank. Are you crying?
I can't believe it. I don't understand. What did I do wrong? Was I not good enough for you? I mean, didn't I come to work every day prepared? Did I ever drop a line?
No, I mean, not that I can remember right now.
No, I didn't. I knew everyone's lines.
Frank, this isn't the end. I mean, you're still a great actor.
I mean, how many new beginnings do you get? How many times do you get to play the role of a lifetime?
There will be other parts, Frank. Other opportunities.
6. I've had 6 roles of a lifetime. But 7? No. There will not be 7. I've been written off, literally, Janine. Janine, you'll give me a decent funeral, right?
Oh, Frank.
Oh, look, guy, cheer up. We'll get these episodes out of the way. We'll have a party.
What? I mean, a party?
If... That's what you want, Frank. And then you can take some time off. I think it's great that you've discovered yoga. Best thing to clear the mind from all the stress.
No. You're right. You are. This will be... It's the best thing for my wife.
Frank, you're divorced.
He means Susan.
I think her arc really can blossom with Charlie out of the way. Oh, boy. I should have seen this coming. Hindsight is 20/20.
They call reruns, Frank.
You're actually a very funny writer, Janine. Promise me, after I'm gone, that you'll use that gift.
Excuse me?
He has a point.
Excuse me?
Funny.
Well, we could go funnier. I mean, these streaming shows we're up against now, they're all so quirky.
Funny. You see, the funny thing about death is it's not that it's a mystery. It's a tease. It will come for every last one of us, but it won't tell us when. If you think about it, you just have to laugh.
That's very true.
Yes, thank you.
What?
I wrote it. Season 4, episode 12.
Right. Right! Right, the one where the teacher has that rare tumor.
So don't you worry about me, because I am one of the lucky ones. I've got Death's number, and Death's days of pulling one over on me are done.
Was he even in that scene?
No.
But here's what I want to tell you, to tell all of you.
Who's he even talking to?
Stay strong, you hear me? Don't you be afraid of what happens after I'm gone. I am not afraid, because I never have been. Everyone says death is a part of life, but is not also life a part of death? Think about it. Because as I walk out that door for the very last time, I still have one last lesson for you, one that I can only teach by example, how to say goodbye. Now that the time has come to bid farewell, I know what it means to know who you are, you know? It's in the people you touch, the lives you may have ever so gently guided onto a better path, the ones you leave behind to say, he was here, I know, and I ain't afraid to let go. So stay strong, and don't you think for a second that you've seen the last of me. Sure, maybe in this world, but I exit laughing, because where I'm going, where we're all going, the possibilities are endless!
Frank, you all here, buddy?
Namaste.
I think this is his form of acceptance.
Dead man walking. Hey, Lewis! Hey, you been thinking about that joke? So what happens is, the guy looks right at the waiter, and he says...
Okay. Well, I guess that went as well as we could have hoped.
Yeah. Had to be done. Okay, then I am fashionably late for my 4 o'clock, so...
Yeah, Janine?
I know.
Lyme disease?
I'm on it.
That was Written Off by Victor Wishna. It starred Phil Fiorini as Frank and featured Nedra Dixon as Janine and Matt Schwader as Doc. This episode was directed by Jan Rogge with sound design, music, and engineering by Mary Robinson. Special thanks to the UMKC Theater Department and Greg Mackinder. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have the good fortune to have Victor with us in the studio today, and I've got to say, that was great fun. Congratulations, hello, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater.
Well, thank you. It is very exciting to be here, and that was a lot of fun to hear them do that. It was just really wonderful to hear them bring those characters to life.
Well, it was an inspired bit of lunacy. Now, Victor, what inspired you to write this Written Off thing?
Actually, I have to admit, it started with the title, which is not usually, that's usually the last thing and the hardest thing to come up with. But I remember I was like, you know, wait a minute. I had this idea where I was like, oh, when a character in a script, in a play or a movie dies, they are literally written off. And I thought that was just the most clever thing ever. Then I came up with that. And I was sure thousands of people had already come up with that. And I am sure they have. But a quick internet search, I couldn't find a play or a movie that had that title, at least in that context. And so I felt like I was a genius with that idea. And then it did nothing with it. Couple of years ago, I was part of a group show of short plays for the Kansas City Fringe Festival that I did with a couple of playwrights, including Sarah Aptalon, who's a great writer also here in town. And we challenged ourselves to write something in response to Death of a Salesman. The exact reason why is I don't know, it's lost to recent history, but... Anything that gets you writing is good. And so we took our hand at it. And I remembered this idea. I'm like, this Willie Loman character of network TV who has outlived his on-screen usefulness. And so, and it's funny, when I look back at it now, there are a couple lines in there even like, isn't it remarkable? Or oh, I have such thoughts, that were my hidden tribute, to to the inspiration.
To Willie Loman. Yes, I love hearing that. For me, it gives the piece such a great pedigree. I had been thinking more in the Ted Knight vein from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but I like Willie Loman from Death of a Salesman better.
I mean, from the beginning, I said, well, I'll just make it a farce. And because that just sort of is a way to drive it forward, I'll raise the stakes of his reaction as it goes. And I honestly didn't realize when I was writing it that what it was the five stages of grief that he's going through until someone pointed it out. So I guess it also maybe there's some significance to that idea now, you know, and the structure that resulted.
He does go through those five stages of grief, doesn't he?
Yeah. It helps give it a structure at the end. I was like, oh, well, in some ways, once someone pointed that out to me, I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least now I know how it ends. He has to accept it because that's step number five.
From denial to anger to bargaining to depression to acceptance. Brilliant.
A five-act play in under 20 minutes. Yeah. So if you don't mind me asking a question of you, I heard that you have a really good personal story about being written off.
So I have a great story about being written off The Edge of Night, which was the soap opera I was on for about a year. And it was at the 25th, 26th anniversary of The Edge of Night being on the air. And, you know, it was a party. And the producer came up to me and he had a stranger. He was a little tipsy. And he said, John, you're fantastic. And I said, oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. You want to know what happens? And I said, well, sure, because I was secretly harboring my character was, I was kind of a bad guy, but I was secretly harboring hopes that like Luke on the General Hospital, I would be turned into a good guy and get to stay on the show forever. And he said, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Well, you're going to be a hero. And I was like, oh, boy, oh, it's going to happen. I'm going to be a hero. This is great. Yeah, you're going to be a hero, and then you're going to be killed. And as he said the word killed, a dagger to the heart, knowing I was going to die and my soap opera career was over.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Victor. So you are a writer. You are many things. You're a playwright, a freelance writer. How does that work out in Kansas City? I know you moved here from New York City, right, where you did kind of the same thing. But here in Kansas City, what's the market like for a freelance writer?
Oh, well, Kansas City is in so many different areas, a fantastic place to live and to work. And I grew up here and then was in New York for about 12 years after college. And in terms of being involved in the arts and in writing, you know, we moved back here actually almost 12 years ago. I've now been here about just as long as I was away. So it really...
Yeah. Now, when you say we...
My wife and I, who's also from here originally, but we met in New York through a hometown connection. And it just made sense to come back here.
And are there children?
There are children. If they're listening. Hi kids. We have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, so in second and fifth grade. And yeah, they were all part of the equation. We moved back here. One of the wonderful things about Kansas City is that is that a place where you can find opportunity. It may seem like there are fewer opportunities, but that means there's more opportunity to find opportunity. If what I just said makes any sense.
I like looking at it that way.
Instead of being one of thousands of people looking for hundreds of opportunities, you can really get to know. And I'm talking even specifically about the arts here. I wanted to be a playwright since I was a kid. I went out and bought the How to Write a Playbook when I was whatever age, and then really did nothing with it. Did some playwriting in college, but. Never really, you know, went into journalism and would write about the arts a lot. But then we were back in Kansas City and I started to meet people in the theater community and just be so, in addition to being just so impressed by what was happening here, certainly in the last 10 years compared to 30 and 40 years ago, there's just a wellspring of creativity and activity. And figured, well, this is home and I'm comfortable and I can start, I can try writing and started doing small plays and small festivals and then was able to build relationships with some local theater companies and to reach this pinnacle of today, where I am, where I can't believe I have a work that, you know, that Kansas City Actors Theater is taken on.
In full disclosure, we will disclose that Written Off was originally written as a stage play, and I asked you if you had anything that you could easily adapt into a radio play, and this one fit the bill just fantastically. Now, where was Written Off in the sort of sequence of things you wrote? Was it the first thing, the fourth thing, the tenth thing?
It was one of the first handful of things. It was when I was starting to write short works and doing them locally, and then the Fringe Festival here is a great way to literally know you're going to see something you write performed because you're the one who is in charge of
producing it.
Who's producing it, but it gets to be on a quote unquote real stage in Kansas City with everything that means in terms of an audience and tech and lights and it's very exciting. It was shortly after this or around the same time that I wrote my first full length play. That was done as a workshop at the Living Room Theater, and then I've been mostly focusing on full length work since then. It's
now,
been a ladder.
Have you written more during the pandemic or less?
It was a slow start. It was like once we knew we were in the middle of a pandemic, it's like, oh, what's happening? And especially, for theater, because DNR had just happened. I had been, working on sort of sending that out and seeing if there were other opportunities, and there seemed to be, and then everything shut down. But the short answer is I did manage to write a play during the pandemic. It's the newest thing I've written. It's much more unlike this short three character play that we just got to hear. The one I just wrote is something. It's more of a pseudo epic. It's called Tree of Life. It has nine characters who hail from three different continents. It has two narratives that take place a century apart from one another. And yet the entire thing is set in a small synagogue in a tiny town in Iowa. it's based on real events. And it's the kind of thing, and I've been working on it off and on. And so, to your point about the pandemic, I think it was the kind of thing where the kind of thing you finally write in the middle of a pandemic when you're not worried about the possibility of production. Because that's not the immediate
hope. Great liberating thing. You can put 12, 15, 20 people in it.
Yeah.
But I am
excited to say that it was selected as one of seven plays that are part of something called the Jewish Plays Project, which is based out of New York. But over the next few months, excerpts from the plays will be performed in eight different cities across the country. And alas, Kansas City is not one of them. But there will, apropos to this and today, there's going to be an online audio version. So I'm very excited about this whole radio theater thing right now. And that will be available wherever you get your podcasts,
excellent.
I think is your phone.
Yes, it is your phone.
Yeah.
Well, we will look forward to hearing much more of your artistic voice. And thank you so much for giving us the Written Off that we heard today. Thank you, Victor.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity.
Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible in part by the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Miller Nichols Foundation, the Kansas City Neighborhood Tourist Development Fund, Arts KC, the Missouri Arts Council, Theater League, and the Breidenthal Snyder Foundation, with enduring thanks to Valerie and Mark Andrus. All episodes of Kansas City Actors Radio Theater can be downloaded on the Kansas City Actors Theater podcast, wherever you consume your podcasts. I'm John Rensenhaus, and until we meet again, stay healthy and stay tuned.